Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, we welcome Jeff to the show. We're going to be talking about self-confidence and improving performance. So welcome to the show, Jeff.
Fired up to be here, man. Super excited. Ready to learn, but also ready to grow. Impact.
Love it. Learning and growing. Two of my favorite things. So yeah, you're definitely in the right spot. We're definitely in the right spot together here. So just a quick introduction to Jeff. So Jeff is a highly sought after mental performance coach and keynote speaker who works with athletes, teams, and organizations on improving performance. He's worked with all levels of athletes and teams from middle school through college, and also NBA, MLB, and PGA golf professionals. So, Jeff, it's going to be a great conversation today. Looking forward to talking to you. I know we haven't talked for a while. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about actually what is it that's got you into this area of performance, and actually what's your story that's inspired you to help people with mental performance?
Loaded question. Again, thank you for having me on. I would say basketball has always been my world. I played at the high school level, played at the college level. Right after college, I was a college coach. So here in the States, I know you got listeners from all over the world. Here in the States, I've been a Division I coach, so coached at the high level. That turned into me running my own organization. I was 20, about 11 years ago. So I was 25. Started my own club. That team, though, that program went from six teams to about 70 teams around the country in a little over 4 years. Basketball is what I love, and it's what I grew. But I hated it. And if anyone's listening that knows the athletic world, there's a lot of ego, entitlement, wanting things for the wrong reasons. And for me, it was always about how do we utilize basketball as a tool for life. And so what happened was, about 5 years ago, I was just done. I was at a very successful business and program. And I was just like, I'm over this. This is not who I am. This is not why I started this. And someone was like, hey, have you ever thought of mental performance coaching? And about 5 years ago, I was like, I don't even know what mental performance coaching is. They're like, there's such a rise with mental health, mental health awareness within athletics. You've always tried to do it the right way for the right reasons. You're so motivational. You're contagious in those ways. You're a self-development nerd as it is. So what if we can kind of encapsulate all that into you being able to help out athletes? Because especially as working with confidence, self-esteem, let's be honest, teenage males don't want to go talk to a quote-unquote psychologist or therapist. But teenage males, especially in the athlete world, are much more comfortable talking to someone that they can relate to. Jeff has played at my level. Jeff knows what it takes to get to the next level. And so in a big nutshell, I just feel super blessed and passionate that I've kind of found my niche and my why that I'm able to impact and serve, but also help individuals. And I think I needed it so much when I was 13 to 20 years old in my own playing career of lacking confidence, inconsistency, self-doubt, so attached to results and outcomes, and being able to teach teenagers anywhere from 10-year-olds to professionals at the 22 to 30-year-old level, how to control their mindset better, which will then obviously help their performance better.
Yeah, I can relate to what you said about like being I would say from my point of view, almost dependent on external results. And I'd imagine, I still play a lot of sport now, but yeah, it's very much you want that result. And a lot of my mood for the whole week was determined whether we won in football or as you call it, soccer, most of the time. So yeah, being able to kind of really work on that mental side sounds like a really beneficial thing, both for you and also for them as well. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say COVID honestly helped a lot. And I hate to say that, I was helping teams and I was in locker rooms and then COVID hit and I just did a lot of virtual stuff just like this. And all of a sudden people started saying, hey, can we do a virtual one-on-one call here or virtual? And I started to realize there is a need for this, and there is a gap of an emptiness that kids need a safe spot to talk. You know, and I'm sure when you were an athlete, sometimes we didn't want to go talk to coach, or we didn't want to open up to our parents about this. So for me to kind of just feel so blessed to be able to be a safe spot for athletes, teams, because if we, it's, I like to say, if like we're cloudy up here in our mind, we're going to be cloudy in performance. But the more clarity we have up here, the more clarity we have out there. And so how can we kind of, especially teach, you know, I work with both males and females, but especially males, let's kind of talk about some things and not just, you know, stuff it all in and bottle it all up.
Love that. It's definitely been guilty of holding it in myself, and plenty of people I've worked with in the past, it's like, oh, I've never really talked about this stuff, and it's really been destroying me. And I like what you said about like athletes finding a safe space to actually speak through these kind of things with you. With I noticed on like one of your blogs, and I really just wanted to touch on this. You said about what you focus on expands, and being able to actually identify. Now, I imagine like the people, you know, when you're working with athletes, you know, a lot can go wrong. Like sometimes if you're having a bad season, or maybe you're not on top of your game. What's, if someone's, you know, in that spot where things aren't going right and they're just like, all the negatives are there, is there anything that you've personally found useful to start focusing on what people is going to help them a little bit more?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say there's two things. I actually just had a group coaching call. And in our group call, we have anywhere from like 10-year-olds to college athletes. I said, anyone have a question, anything on their mind? And the 10-year-old says, how do I redirect my focus after a distraction? And I was like, a 10-year-old's asking me this, which is amazing. And so we talked a lot about two things. We said, controlling your focus and controlling your self-talk. Now, what we talked about was, like you said, what you focus on expands. We can focus on the missed shot. We can focus on the mistake. We can focus on coach subbed me out, or, you know, the concern of parents, what they're going to say to me on the car ride home. But we only have three kind of areas of focus. You're going to focus on the past, present, or future. And almost every athlete I've ever worked with is like, I'm focusing way too much on the past mistakes, or the what ifs of, I need to score this many points, the results, the outcomes, what are parents going to say to me? And it's almost like we're playing a ping pong game and bouncing over the most important, the present. And so I think it's the ability to train our mindset to stay in the present moment. The same way athletes, or even regular individuals, we train so hard for the physical skill sets, but we never really have trained our mindset to, even though I might feel this way, doesn't mean I need to act this way. Or, I'm so concerned of the past, or I'm so concerned about the future. Retrain our mindset to be like, be here, be now. And so what I even teach 10-year-olds all the way up to professionals is, obviously we all know the deep breath, right? A bringing our subconscious breathing to conscious thoughts, conscious deep breath. We see it all the time with athletes, right? That it's like grounding, it's anchoring them back to the present. I use a lot of trigger words, you know, like, what is your one word intention? That could be aggressive, confident, swagger, big body language, leader, vocal, aggressive, dog mentality, alpha, whatever that is. But again, focusing less on the quote unquote mistake and focusing more on the one word intention, the deep breath, the groundedness, anchoring us back to the present.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of breath work as well, in terms of like that anchoring. I work with a somatic coach as well, so yeah, I love that. And I've seen many athletes do that as well. And the intention, I love that word that you've used there, and being able to get people to focus on that. So with the, you know, a lot of, if we come to like the achiever mentality of like, I've got all these goals, I've got to set all these things. What do you kind of say to kind of like setting goals versus like living in the present? Because I personally found in the past, and I know I've worked with people who are like very so future focused because they're like setting goals. So do you think it's like a little bit of a balance? It's about going into the future, but then living in the past. How do you find balancing that?
I would say it's kind of that phrase, like that 80-20 rule. 80% on the present, 20% on the goals or achievements. Especially that's what I work on with athletes. And here's literally my note card right here. 80% of what I need to commit to, and 20% of my actual goals that I want for this year, this quarter, whatever. And what I mean by that is, I always bring them back to this, especially in high emotional states like sports. There's a lot of expectations, there's a lot of pressure. And I always ask them, I said, society wants you to focus on what? Standards or expectations? They're like, expectations, pressures, what I need to accomplish. But what we need to do is have a better relationship with it, disassociate ourselves with expectations and pressures and focus on standards. We can control our standards. We can control, teams always have, here are the three standards, the three pillars of what we live by. But a lot of us are so encapsulated by the expectations, the results, the goals. But if you live your life by a high set of standards, results should take care of themselves. So literally for me, I'll read you mine off.
Oh,
Believing
yes.
and acting, 100% relentless focus and discipline, priceless value, true confidence, choose courage, infectious presence, seek joy and fulfillment, serve others. I'm enough. Every moment matters. I read it every single morning because that locks me into how the best self for Jeff shows up. And if I can show up better, results take care of itself.
So it's like you know what you're striving for, but it's a standard you're like focusing on in order
Great
for
point.
those
Yeah.
to.
So what I would do with an athlete is say, all right, let's take 90 seconds and you write down every word that embodies you when you're playing at your best. Go. Confidence, present, leader, vocal, da, 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 da. And they might come up with 10 words. All right, cut that down to eight. Okay, cut that down to seven. Cut that down to five. Okay, what are the top three words that just embody who you are when you're at your best? And they might, like my three words are present, discipline, and joy. If I'm more present, if I'm more disciplined with my choices, and if I find joy in what I do, I know I'm going to have a great day. I know I'm going to be a better coach, a better husband, a better person. And so again, I live by standards, not by emotions. I live by how I want to show up, not by how I feel. Right. And so many of our society, we're just an emotional rollercoaster. How I feel is how I act. And what I say is like, I don't care how you feel. I really don't. I have a child. I have almost two under two right now. I have a dog. I get in disagreements with my wife. I don't get enough sleep sometimes. But that doesn't give me a, it doesn't allow me just to show up how I feel. What the best can do is disassociate and separate. Even though I feel this way, I still need to show up as my best self. And that starts by your standards, not by your emotions.
I like that. I was going to actually ask you about one of the words you mentioned there was discipline, and then being able to do that. And for like those who you see really like disciplined, is it that they've got like simple strategies you find, or is it just the case that they're able to get themselves to act even when they're not good? Like, is there anything that you found that's effective for discipline?
Two things I think of. I'll start with the first one is I've been doing a lot of on I have my own podcast called The Champion's Life, and the last podcast was about procrastination and laziness.
Oh, yeah, I
And
was going to touch on that actually. Yeah.
we could talk about that in a little bit, but Tony Robbins talked about motion creates emotion, right? I don't feel like getting up to do the dishes, but if I can get myself up, the motion creates, all right, I'm up, let's get going. I don't want to get on the treadmill to warm up, but if I start stepping and walking and moving, motion creates emotion. So what I mean by that also is how do we get started? I love the quote, it's the start that stops most people. It's the start that stops most people. And so if we can get started, so almost every single client call that I have, individual wise, team wise, I end with something called a start, stop, continue. And that's my accountability to them for this next week until I see them again. What's one thing you can start doing? What's one thing you can stop doing? And what's one thing that you can continue to do well this week? Not focus on a thousand different things and throw a thousand things at a wall. Let's just focus on one. And then week after week, brick after brick, we're starting to lay that disciplined, consistent, intentional, better version of who we want to become.
And that's each week, doing something each week, just to clarify.
100%. It can be the same thing. And I actually end up every podcast with that. But, you know, some people do it daily. Some people write out their start, stop, continue daily. I do it weekly. But it creates the clarity and the intentionality like we talked about earlier.
Yeah. And I like the continue as well. I think that's a really good point, because sometimes it's like, what do I need to change in my life? But actually, there might be something that's actually creating a bit of a result, and then you can drop off that. Right. So
100%, especially with athletes, right? We're so results stats focused. It's like, and we're always on to the next thing. Oh, I achieved this. I averaged 10 points a game. I need to get 12. I need 12. I need 14. It's like, let's acknowledge and reward ourselves with that positive reinforcement of, I am doing this well. Let's continue to do this. Mm-hmm. Let's continue to be a great leader. Let's continue to show up. Let's continue to get in the extra reps. Let's continue to get more sleep. Acknowledging that helps reinforce those positive, that positive self-talk as well.
Love that. And yeah, it's almost like you're reading my mind, because I was going to ask you a little bit about self-taught, because it's a huge challenge for many people who've, me in the past included, but many people who've listened to the podcast and sort of like reached out saying they've had this internal dialogue that's not good, this self-taught that's really like hurting them and pulling them back. And yeah, I can remember days in sport and it's like, oh, I had a nightmare game. I'm a useless, pathetic human being. And it was like really bad. This is when I was a teenager, real struggles with this, but it really like kind of got to me. For you, is there anything that you find useful when you're working with people in order to look into the self-talk in particular?
Yeah, I think we're all, you know, wired and built to be negative. You know, a lot of research shows that, right? 70 to 80% of our thoughts are negative. So unless we're conscious of that, it's hard to change it. I would say two things that I've heard in the past. One is just an I am note card, or visual triggers, visual reminders. So like I am note card, like if I'm really, one of my clients is really struggling with self-talk, is I'll literally have them write I am, and a big note card, a big sticky note, put this on your bathroom mirror. So instead of for 2 minutes every day, hopefully twice a day when you brush your teeth for 2 minutes, instead of just sitting there aimlessly, what am I going to think about? What am I going to do today? You're literally focusing on practicing confident, positive self-talk. I am a leader. I am vocal. I am a great shooter. I am a great athlete. I am a great, a loving brother. I am a great friend. And it just reinforces those affirmations we need. Or I say, if it's not by your bathroom mirror, put it by your bedroom light switch to constantly see that. And so as you're walking down the stairs or whatever, like literally right now, I'm looking at one that just says joy in big letters that says no distractions. But visual, I'll be honest, guys, I'm a very emotional, lazy, comfortable human being. So what I need is I need constant reminders to nudge me back on track. Otherwise, if without this, I might get frustrated, I might get sleepy, I might get exhausted, I might want to just turn on Netflix, check social media. But visual reminders, visual cues is what I call them. It's almost like it just nudges you back on you showing up as your best self.
Visual reminders. No, it's a great one. And thanks for, you know, sharing it. We're all human too, and we can get into like bad habits. So it's just that reminding yourself to get back on track as well with the I ams. I'm a big fan of the I ams. Jeff, I noticed you've got a book called Tender Lions. Can you tell us a little bit about what that's about?
Here it is. I was just actually looking at this. There's Tender Lions. About 8 years ago, my dad was like, I want to write a book with you. I was like, Oh, you don't. I don't want to write a book. Honestly, it's about father and son relationship. It's called Tender Lions, Building the Vital Relationship Between Father and Sons. My dad went through some hard times when I was a teenager. My mom and my dad were on the verge of divorce. It hurt us emotionally, psychologically, for many years. But we also were just like, if we could rewind time or put everything of a kind of a step-by-step process for what we would do differently to be a better man, a better leader, a better mentor in the house. What would that include, and how would we do it differently? So it's really cool because it gives a father perspective. It also gives me as a son perspective, and it also gives us father-son relationship perspective, but also the craziness of what I've seen in youth sports and the lack, sometimes the lack of fatherhood or the lack of mentorship. And the reason we talked about tender lines is because for us as men, we need to be a tender line. We need to be tender. We need to be loving and empathetic and present and vulnerable. But we also need to have this lion within us, this leader and confident and poise within our household and who we are and how we conduct ourselves.
Oh, that's beautiful. That sounds like a great story and message to share with people. So yeah, Jeff, thank you, you know, for sharing all you have today and all the work you're doing and helping people with, you know, mental performance. Just before we sort of wrap up, is there maybe a final point or a couple of points you want to share? Just kind of leave the listener with, and also where can the listener find out more from you if they want to connect with you, find out a little bit more about your work?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. We'll start with the latter question first. Easiest thing is everything is at Coach Jeff Becker. Coach Jeff Becker. My website's coachjeffbecker.com. All my social media is Coach Jeff Becker. The podcast that I do is called The Champion's Life, all about mindset and just you showing up as your best self. But I think closing remarks, obviously, I'm a big quote guy, right? I've been in sports my entire life. I've been a coach. Kind of like, how can we maximize what we say in the shortest, hard-hitting amount of time? I think two quotes that I really live by is, to get things you never had, you have to do things you've never done, right? We all talk about wanting new things, but we're not willing to do the work. And doing the work doesn't always mean physically. Doing the work could be mentally, like listening to podcasts and learning and really working on the mindset, right? To get things you never had, you have to do things you never done. And I would say probably that second one is just like I talked about it. It's the start that stops most people. I mean, I have thousands of quotes I can think of, but it's the start that stops most people. And we all have doubts and insecurities and fears that hold us back. But I think the most successful individuals acknowledge and face and lean into that instead of shying away from that. That's really hard to do. You know, and I've worked with some really high level dudes that you've probably seen on ESPN, you know, and on TV and this and that. They still have fears and they still have struggles and they still get emotional. But they have created, I don't want to say they've eliminated it, but they have a much better relationship. I think that's key, is having a better relationship with our mindset, better relationship with our fears and insecurities. When you have a better relationship with things, you know how to lean into it. When I have a better relationship with my wife, I can lean into hard conversations, you know, compared to if it's just a random person, I don't want to have a hard conversation. I shy away from that. So a better relationship with these things definitely helps out long term.
Love that. Thanks, Jeff. That's a great closing couple of points for us. And thank you for everything you've shared today. Appreciate it.
Well, appreciate it too. Like I said, 30 minutes will fly by. I hope we can get back on soon though, buddy.
Awesome. Love it. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.